همجو تشنگی آور به دست. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. تا بجوشد آب از بالا و پست. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy will, God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you Allah, that we're here, feeling so good, about all the things that we went through, knowing that God speaks with us too, it's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever.
The ocean of dua.
And then he continues asking the Almighty Allah. And this asking comes from the high hope and aspiration. Although he has described his lowest state in the beginning parts of this supplication, but he continues asking, enrich my living, make manifest my manliness, and put in order all my affairs. Make me among those whom you have prolonged their lives, made their acts good, completed upon them your blessings, whom you are pleased with, and whom you have caused them to live a good life. Single me out for your special remembrance, and make me the one with the fullest share with you amongst your servants in every good that you have sent down. And this station, this climax of the supplication, roots from the very recognition we talked about. This journey from the trough to the peak is another expression of the journey of man towards the Almighty Allah, the journey of hope and aspiration. And when one's aspiration and hope is in Almighty Allah only, there is no end to such a journey. Thank you, dear listeners, for staying with us in this program as well. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
The biggest revolution in the world in the closing decades of the 20th century. The Islamic Revolution of Iraq. It is the best of times. It is the worst of times. It is the age of wisdom. It is the age of foolishness. It is the spring of belief. It is the winter of disbelief. The initial euphoria of the victory has evaporated. The country is now beset with opposing ideologies. Marxism is in full swing, the best system of political thinking, for its supporters. But for millions of others across the world, a horrible nightmare that could undermine the most cherished institution in society, religion. The country has lost its prominent religious thinkers like Ayatollah Motahhari and Ayatollah Beheshti to a wave of terrorist attacks carried out by left-wing armed groups. Meanwhile, a young cleric turns heads. His powerful arguments against Marxism-Leninism showcase his deep knowledge of political philosophy. His name is Mohammad Taghi Mesbah Yazdi. When Ayatollah Khomeini was in exile in the years leading to the victory of the revolution, Mr. Mesbah and other disciples of the Grand Ayatollah were fighting intellectually against Marxism and other radical ideologies that had a veneer of Islam. As the storm of radical ideologies abated in the capital city, the young cleric went back to Qom, home to thousands of religious students. He wrote more than 100 books on a wide range of topics, from Islamic philosophy and ethics to women's rights and human rights to freedom and democracy. He also served 3 terms as a member of the Assembly of Experts, a deliberative body empowered to appoint, supervise, and dismiss the leader of Iran. Meanwhile, Ayatollah Mesbah made overseas trips as a Muslim scholar to different countries such as Syria, Kuwait, Bosnia, Malaysia, Indonesia, Spain, Latin America, and the United States. During all those years, Ayatollah Mesbah sought to build a bridge between the seminary and the university. His long-held ambition was realized through the foundation of a number of academic centers, on top of which the Imam Khomeini Education and Research Institute, founded in 1995. Directed by Ayatollah Mesbah, the institute became a major academic center in Iran for the humanities, with a primary focus on Muslim humanities. In fact, the first efforts to Islamize the humanities were made at the Imam Khomeini Institute. With over 15 departments from history and philosophy to law and sociology to psychology and economics, the institute was also concerned with how the country could keep peace with the fast-moving scientific and technological developments in the world to its own needs. It invited many scholars from across the world for teaching, exchanging ideas, and academic cooperation, including, among them, Professor Gary Carl Leckenhausen, an American philosopher. The Institute trained hundreds of scholars in different fields of study and became a major platform in the country for thinkers of all stripes to debate and share their ideas. As a Muslim scholar, Islamic culture and civilization was a major concern for Ayatollah Mesbah. Admitting the pros and cons of globalization, he felt the danger of cultural invasion coming from the West to weaken cultural foundations of the nation by replacing the national values and culture with the ultimate goal of making the country dependent again. So the Ayatollah sounded the alarm for the invasion. His main argument was that Western values are not necessary global values. He strongly believed that the 1979 revolution was a nationwide religious strife to safeguard the country's Islamic values and tradition, which were under direct threat during the reign of the pro-Western Shah of Iran. His courage and knowledge to defend Islamic values against a raging torrent of opposing discourses made him a legendary hero for his staunch supporters and a controversial figure for his critics. Gradually, a smear campaign was orchestrated abroad, portraying the Ayatollah as a hardliner to terrify hardliners, a dogmatic figure who advocated violence and seeking martyrdom. Perhaps one of the less known and at the same time most important views held by Ayatollah Mesbah is the one on takfir, an Islamic concept deliberately misused and misinterpreted by the takfiri Wahhabi ideology to excommunicate their enemies as non-believers for their own interests. According to Ayatollah Mesbah, takfir is a term with a metaphorical intellectual connotation, meaning a person excommunicated under certain conditions is intellectually excommunicated and they should be respected as human beings like before. The Ayatollah's argument on takfir, which is built upon his deep knowledge of Islamic teachings, shows the falsity of the takfiri Wahhabi ideology, a major source of chaos and instability in the region over the past decades. If properly promoted, the argument could prevent many who fell for the misinterpretation of takfirism from joining extremist and terrorist groups that have wreaked havoc on the region and become a global threat. In his memoirs, when he visits Pope John Paul II, Ayatollah Mesbah writes, "I told Pope John Paul II that humanity was suffering from two evils, ideological corruption and moral corruption. Ideological corruption means forgetting God in our daily lives, and moral corruption means the current immorality that prevails in the world. To fight this global plight, Muslim and Christian leaders can play an important role. Their cooperation can alleviate this plight." Ayatollah Muhammad Taghi Mesbah Yazdi is definitely an outstanding figure in the Muslim world. Yet his lifelong efforts as a Muslim scholar and philosopher was meant to help all humanity in a world of confusing ideologies and schools of thought, where God is said to be dead, and man in exile and abandoned to himself.
ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام می‌گذاره همه این ارزش‌ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program's to my brother, and I'm your host, Mehdi. We're talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters in faith. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother, I'm Muhammad. And today, I'm going to read to you an aphorism of Imam Ali from Nahjul Balagha. Before that, let's go ahead and listen to the Arabic words, and after that, I'm going to read you the English translation. Stay with us.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: متى أشفي غيظي إذا غضبت؟ أحين أعجز عن الانتقام فيقال لي لو صبرت؟ أم حين أقدر عليه فيقال لي لو عفوت؟
Amirul Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam used to say, "If I am angry, when shall I vent my anger? When I am unable to take revenge, and it be said to me, better you endure, or when I have power to take revenge, and it be said to me, better forgive."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's an honor to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's To My Brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. One of the great lessons which we learn from the universal persona of Imam Ali is that the persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam and the virtues of Imam Ali are truly a beacon of guidance for all of humanity. Now, the great orator of Khwarizm reports that a scholar was asked if he had composed a poem eulogizing Imam Ali. And in response to this question, the scholar said, "What should I say about a sublime person whose enemies envied his virtues and concealed them?" Here on a tangent, it should be said that Imam Ali's personality was so great that even his enemies, such as Muawiyah, who was the governor of Sham, who was placed there by the second caliph Omar. He, Muawiyah, who was an enemy of Imam Ali, was envious of his virtues, and he tried his best to conceal the virtues of Imam Ali, which included having Imam Ali cursed at upon the pulpit. So this scholar continues, he says, "What should I say about a sublime person whose enemies envied his virtues and concealed them? And his friends were not able to propagate his virtues out of fear of their lives." And we find that the friends of Imam Ali, for example, Maytham al-Dammar. Maytham, he was put on a cross and his tongue was cut out. Why? Because he was talking about the virtues of Imam Ali. And this scholar then continues, he says, "Despite these two great obstacles, one that his enemies envied his virtues and concealed them, and the second great obstacle that his friends couldn't propagate his virtues out of fear of their lives, Imam Ali's virtues and merits were such that they have enlightened the earth and the heavens, as well as the east and the west." Truly, the virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam, the importance of these virtues in our lives, in society, and for humanity as a whole. Imam Ali, the beacon of guidance on the path of life and the hereafter, profound lessons for a difficult age, brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Ali Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, about the personality of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
تمام ارزش‌ها و صفاتی که انسان چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به اسلام چه به عنوان انسان مؤمن به هر دینی
human in general whether a muslim non-muslim or even a disbeliever respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib this means Ali ibn Abi Talib is a global character who is respected by Sunnis, Shias, and even non-Muslims. Everyone, even the faithless people, respect Imam Ali and his personal values.
IRIB English Radio. You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
We invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridvi,
And this last will of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyid Razi has included this in the section of Nahj al-Balagha dealing with the letters of Ali, because this was a written document. And this is letter number 47 of Nahj al-Balagha. And so this is Mustanat, as we call it. Authentic last will of Amir al-Mu'mineen, which he wanted it to be not only for his family, but for the entire Shia community, even for those who will come in the future. The timing is also very important. He didn't do this in peacetime. This is after Ibn Muljim attacked him and before his shahadat happens. So this is between the either eve of 20th or the eve of 21st of Ramadan. That is the time between Zarbat and shahadat. And actually he had asked his scribe, his secretary who used to write letters, he would dictate and this fellow would write it down. He asked him to be there. And he began after the kalima of shahadat about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about Rasul. Then he says, initially the address is, the first part of it, as an introduction, he is addressing his two sons, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn alayhi salatu wa salam. He begins by saying, Usikuma, I advise both of you, it's in dual tense, bitaqwa Allah. The very first thing is the consciousness of Allah's presence in your life, taqwa. وَعَنْ لَا تَبْغِيَ الدُّنْيَا. And I advise you not to go after the dunya, materialism. وَإِنْ بَغَتْكُمَا. Even though the material world would approach you to tempt you, don't go after it. You know, Amir al-Mu'mineen himself used to say that, oh dunya, I've given you three talaq. After that, there is no reconciliation. Don't come to me. Don't try to tempt me in any way. And so this is his second important, you know, advice to his own children. وَلَا تَأْسَفَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِنَهَا زُبِيَ عَنْكُمَا. He says, not only that, don't go after the dunya. If you lose something from the mali dunya, don't feel sorry for it. Let it go. Number three, وَقُولَ بِالْحَقِّ. Whenever you both speak, always speak what is haq and true. وَعَمَلَ لِلْعَجْرِ. And whatever you do, make sure that it is indeed an action where there is ajr and reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end. وَكُولَ لِلظَّالِمِ خَصْمًا وَلِلْمَظْلُومِ عَوْنًا. Especially addressing Hassan and Hussein, that both of you be opponent of the zalim, unjust people, and be supporters of the mazloom, the oppressed people. And this is where Amir al-Mu'mineen always had that policy in his life, even during the time of the three Khulafa. He was patient when his right was deprived, but he would always speak when the rights of others were deprived.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
Iran. IRIB. IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
With the presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners, dear brothers and sisters. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. With me in the studio are two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, Assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to the show.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
Brother Ali, salam to you too, brother.
Wa alaykum assalam. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, how are you, brother? Are you all right?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, brother. A very interesting topic have been selected by Brother Mahmoud, the producer of this series of the program Viewpoints. And as you know, on the Call of Islam page, Viewpoints is dedicated to different topics and on different series. But this special series on Supreme Leader is produced by Brother Mahmoud. He has selected to talk about the importance of the medical staff and the nurses in the viewpoints of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Maybe some of our dear listeners think that he is merely a political leader, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, but with referring to Khamenei.ir or leader.ir, we can find different speeches addressing different groups of people on various topics. And this topic, in fact, is very important. Especially we are passing life in the, we can say, coronavirus pandemic. And the role of the nurses and the medical staff are highlighted all across the world more. But how a leader, a Muslim leader, like Ayatollah Khamenei, looks at this event and this group of people is very, we can say, special. So what factors make this profession sacred especially in the Muslim communities? Because looking at the nurses as a sacred thing is very much different from the Western look.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Thank you very much for your question. And based on the lectures of Ayatollah Khamenei, I want to enumerate some of those features that he mentioned in some of his speeches. And inshallah, we shall explain some of those features. The first feature that a good nurse needs to have is to do her job or his job purely for the sake of God, like any other job that in Islam, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to do. It has to be done with the intention of closeness to Allah.
That's right.
So in case, for example, even this small gathering of us that we are talking about, this actually event of the Nurse Day, in case we are doing it for the sake of God, with a pure intention, inshallah, whatever is going to happen and whatever conclusion it might have, mm-hmm. it would be looked at as a sacred act and sacred, let's say, duty. So all of us, whatever we are doing in our jobs, need to do our jobs and works for the sake of God. So this is one of the features, key features that we have to know.
So doing it for the sake of God, number one, okay?
Exactly. Nurses and any other people who works in any sort of office or work in, let's say, position, needs to do his or her job for the sake of God. Second is that they have a permanent companionship with the patient. It is not like a nurse leaves a patient, for example, a group of patients alone and gives services to others. No, they actually feel a sort of companionship to all the patients that they have in this section. And this sort of sympathy that they have towards them gives them the morale to get back to life and to revive and get and bring back their health, inshallah, in let's say in no time. So look, some of the patients need to be treated by words. So words actually sometimes act more than the actions. In case they talk to them nicely, kindly, with a good word, it affects the patient more than the pills and all the medicine that a doctor might prescribe for them.
Definitely.
Sometimes some of the patients actually get the changes. They change with some good words, and they bring back their health. And it is very effective to know how to talk to the patient and how to treat him with the words and give him hope, or give her hope, and the trust in God to give him, actually to bring him back to life.
The important case about the nurses and the difference that we have with the other professions is that every day they are seeing the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala very close. Because in reviving a sick people or giving back life to the people, you are acting like you're in fact acting godly. And in this way, we know that there have been so many surgeons and the medical staff that during the surgery, this has been documented in the memoirs of the doctors and the medical staff, that they see Allah and God over there in the power that he had in creating a human being with this complicated system. And in fact, I think the nurses every day are very much close. So they should value this thing. I mean, the value. They're very different from a teacher or, for example, I don't know, economist or a politician, or we doing radio works very easily over here, okay? But when they see the signs of creation and Allah over there around themselves, and if they are mindful about these signs, I think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help them and will give them a special, we can say, position.
Definitely.
Okay.
We talked about talking nicely to the patients and kindly talking to them is one aspect. And then let them talk and hearing what they are saying. They're listening very kindly to what the patients are saying, because the patient, whatever they have, is pain. And they need to even complain and have their pleas on what they are suffering from. And the nurse actually listens to them. The nurse listens to them with a sort of patience.
So be patient with the patients.
Very true. They are actually patient with the patients.
Yeah.
More is while listening to what they are saying, then they give them morale to and hope that they are, inshallah, will and that they are that they will be good, inshallah, and then they will get back to their family and houses again very soon.
Okay.
And giving them these good words, inshallah, bring them to health.
Yes.
And their tolerance also with the patient, with different kinds of patients, because patients are not all the same. Some of the patients are...
The old ones are really hard to tackle, that's right. Yeah, the babies are hard to tackle.
Very true. And, and they have, some of them have lower, let's say, lower patience, and some are more patient.
Yes.
So in order to... be kind to them. You need to actually to tackle them differently. Those who are those who need to more care, they give them more care. Those who actually are, I think that are sufficient to be given, for example, a couple of minutes. They actually divide their time very artistically to know which person needs how much care.
During this program and the previous ones, we all talked about patience. And this patience, etymologically speaking, has roots in patience. Sabr, Sayyid Mohsen, is a very important concept in Islam. We can say this patience of hardships and difficulties. And it has been promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have it in the Quran and in Ahadith, that patience in the hardships will elevate the position of a Muslim. What a better chance for the medical staff and nurses, isn't it?
And I would like to say, like these nurses who are basically doing their duty, sometimes they might think that they're serving these people.
That's right.
they're dealing with these people, but these people are obviously these patients. They're like rudely talking to them, and they're not giving their right what they should give them, or respect which they should give to these nurses. But they should keep this in their mind that obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching everything.
Watching everything,
so he is giving the rewards.
Okay.
Because if we want reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the best reward that we can have. On top of that, obviously, there is a difference between the obligation or the duty that we have and the reward or salary that we take. The nurses, their main duty is to do their actual job duty. Being a nurse, they need to take care of the patient psychologically, emotionally,
physically,
in all aspects. They have to do that, regardless of what they've been paid by the hospital, maybe, or the governments that they're paying, or maybe by someone who is saying thank you to them or not.
They have to do their duty. This is their job.
With the smile.
Okay.
So they have to do their duty, the obligation that they
have. But the important thing is being, we can say, thankful. You know, this thankfulness should be developed in both the sick people and we can say the nurses. That's
obviously, in the Quran we have Hal Jaza'u al-Ihsan ila al-Ihsan.
Yeah, very good.
Is the reward of Ihsan, the benevolence.
The benevolence in for that's right.
For that. Yeah. And obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, La in shakartum la azidannakum. When you thank to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I will increase the blessings on you. And there also another verse which I just remembered the translation or the context of the verse, if I'm not wrong, in which Allah says, if you're not thanking the khalq, or maybe it's a hadith.
Okay.
If you're not thanking the khalq, means the creation, then I will not accept your thank towards me.
Oh.
If you say shukran lillah 100 times, 1,000 times, or maybe every day you do this, if you're not thanking the khalq, means the creation who's helping you, who is basically, they're supporting you.
Yes.
If you're not thanking them, I will not accept anything from you.
That's all right.
This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, on the being an ordinary person, obviously, I would say the thanks to this the nurse, you can say, like the
and the medical staff,
the medical staff and that's the nurses who are really working hard, and they're obviously
they're
putting all their efforts in order to save these lives. And as you mentioned in the beginning, or Brother Ali, that the doctors and the nurses, they do see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day.
Yes.
Because you know there is some time when the doctors or nurses they leave their hope.
Yeah.
And
they lose the hope.
They lose the hope. Yeah. They say now he's not gonna be like
alive
come back
anymore.
Or be alive anymore.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they see a miracle happening there. So these things are there. They can, you know, the way they can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the miracles, we ordinary people cannot see.
And this is a chance, man.
This is a chance
given to the nurses.
And that's why Supreme Leader, in his speeches, one of his speeches, he said, they are doing the job of the angels. And they reach towards the perfection, you can say, like, sooner than us.
Yes.
So it's because they're...
If they are mindful of the signs. Because in the system, especially in this 21st century materialistic system, as you said, everything has been done for the money, okay, and for these payments and as the duty. But if they are mindful of this, we can say, supernatural, metaphysical, spiritual aspects of their jobs, then they reach perfection. And this takamul that the insan is looking for, the humanity is looking for, these nurses can reach it really sooner. Thank you much,
Brother
Ali Alavian and Said Mohsen Naghvi, for your presence in the program Viewpoints. We again... admire, and we really we can say are thankful to the efforts that are made by all the medical staff, the nurses and volunteers who are doing great works during coronavirus pandemic, and we really value the position of the nurse in the society. Dear listeners, thank you much for listening to this episode of Viewpoints. For more information, you can visit our website parstoday.com/enkalavislam page, or our YouTube page Call of Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Sometimes I can't see.
where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, they you are guiding me through. Whenever I feel down, you can lift me up, turning my life around with your love. No matter how rough it gets, I can wear a smile, 'cause your mercy never dries, yeah.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student in first grade. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners Special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, January 3rd, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails and letters. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Or if you have any messages for our listeners around the world, then record your voice and send it to us and get your voice heard. Remember, dear listeners, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And congratulations to our Christian listeners on the occasion of the New Year 2021. May peace prevails all over the earth and the coronavirus leaves the earth as soon as possible. Amen. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. We are with you with so many letters and emails from around the world. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very useful and important to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers in our radio. These reception reports, as you may know, enable us to provide a better service to our dear listeners throughout the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report normally will be receiving a QSL card from us in IRIB English Radio. However, these days, unfortunately, with the outbreak of coronavirus around the world, please don't expect a QSL card from IRIB English Radio. As you may know, sending any material on behalf of our radio is temporarily halted due to the pandemic. But as soon as the virus is controlled around the world and the protocols, the health and hygienic protocols are removed, we will be back on track and send you QSL cards and the promotional items of IRIB English Radio. And here, I truly appreciate those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Rafan Ahmad from India, Salvatore Righi from Italy, and Ivan A. Zeleny from Russia. Rafan, Salvatore, and Ivan. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. And a million thanks to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us emails and letters, most of them congratulating the Christian New Year 2021 and Christmas, which I mentioned some of their names here, including Chris Malbo from Canada, one of our regular listeners, also Jayanta Chakrabarty from India, also one of our regular listeners, have sent us emails. And we have an email from Jyrki Hitonen from Finland has sent us an email. Krister Bronstorm from Sweden and Robens Fraz Pedroso from Brazil. All of them, our regular listeners, have sent us emails. Thank you all. Dear listeners, stay with us until the end of the program. During the program, I will read these kind messages just after the music. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special. And actually, this is the first edition of Listeners Special in 2021. The first letter, actually the first email, is from Chris Malbouf from Canada. Chris Malbouf is one of our regular listeners who says, "Hello and greetings from British Columbia, Canada. It's been quite some time since we've spoken, and I would like to share some of my Christmas childhood memories. When I was growing up, I used to have Christmas dinner with my great-grandmother, who has passed on for 10 years, and I would open the presents. Last night, I had turkey for dinner, and my guess is that you don't eat turkey in Iran as the New Year dinner, do you? I'm not sure what will be my New Year's plan with COVID-19, but I will think of something. I hope to tune in to your session soon and send in my thoughts. First of all, salam and greetings to you, Chris Malbo from Canada, British Columbia. And many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Also, many thanks for sharing your Christmas experience to us and our dear listeners around the world. Of course, as you said, childhood memories are the best memories of one's life. And it was nice. You said you used to have your Christmas dinner with your great-grandmother. That's great. And also open your presents. That's great. And it seems that you had turkey for dinner. It's nice. I love it. Turkey is one of my favorite dish. But as you said, in Iran, people don't have turkey for the New Year. In Iran, we celebrate our New Year. Actually, Iranian Muslims, the majority of Iran consists of Muslims who celebrate Nowruz as the New Year and have different kinds of dishes like reshta polo as the main dish of the New Year, which starts in the spring, as you may know it. But Iranians eat turkey in different occasions. It's not a special kind of meal in Iran, but people normally eat it in Iran. Anyway, thank you. Thanks a lot. We wish you a very happy New Year 2021 with peace, joy, love, and everything you desire. Thank you again. Write to us soon, and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon in the future. Also from India, we have an email from Jayanta Chakrabarty. Jayanta Chakrabarty from India is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I take this opportunity to wish all members at IRIB and their families a very happy and merry Christmas. May the coming year 2021 be full of happiness and promises, leaving behind all the dark patches of 2020. I'm sure the new year will bring a new listening experience from IRIB English Radio. Stay safe, stay healthy. Salam and greetings to you, Jayanta Chakrabarty from India." We do express our appreciation for this congratulation message. And also we wish you and all our dear listeners around the world, our Christian listeners, of course, a very happy new year 2021. But as you may know, most of Iranian population consists of Muslims, and we celebrate our new year in spring, and Nowruz is the start of the new year we celebrate in spring. Anyway, thanks a lot. But we have minorities in our country. We have Armenian minorities and Ashuri minorities, which celebrate the new year 2021. And we wish them and also our Christian friends around the world a very happy 2021 year. Anyway, Jayanta Chakrabarty, many thanks for writing to IRIB English Radio. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. Dear listeners, after a short break, I will be back with other emails and letters from around the world. Stay tuned, please. As I'm watching, you know, there are lots of emails and letters congratulating the 2021 new year. And here we have an email from Rubens Ferraz Pedroso from Brazil, who says, "Thank you so much for the Christmas message. I wish an excellent 2021 for all the people around the world, especially when we all are grappling with the coronavirus pandemic. Stay safe and well." Rubens Fras Pedroso from Brazil, greetings to you, and thank you for this congratulation message. We also wish you a very happy 2021, and also we wish all our listeners around the world a very happy 2021 with peace, joy, and love. And our prayer is always this, getting rid of coronavirus pandemic, as you said. You also, Rubens Fras Pedroso from Brazil, stay safe and healthy. Write to us soon, Rubens Fras Pedroso from Brazil. And from Sweden, we have an email from one of our regular listeners. This email is from Krister Brandstorm. Krister Brandstorm says, "Dear radio friends, we most certainly celebrate Christmas and New Year in very much a different way as we stay at home and avoid contacts with other people. But apart from that, we try to celebrate, as we always do, with good food, presents, and long walks. For the new year, we obviously